This podcast and our many other ministries are only possible because of your generosity. You can give and support Grace by going to gracelutheran1.org/give or by clicking on the link in the show description. Thank you for your support. Anyone who has ever played sports growing up before knows that they look back at their sports career, so to speak, with both pride and regret. You see, those who have played sports look back at the moments that they did something great, something that they changed the course of a game or a season. They look at it with pride and remember that time fondly. But other times, people who have played sports look back at it with regret, that there was a moment or a situation that maybe if they would have reached a little farther, maybe if they would have thrown a little straighter or shot with a little more confidence, the outcome, not only for themselves, but for other people, would have been completely different. You see, when it comes to sports, both pride and regret often are not about the little moments, but about the big moments. One of the regrets of my sports career was that out of all the years I played football, I never scored a touchdown. And I remember one particular situation where I was sent into the game to run the ball, and the ball was on the 2-yard line. That I only had 6 feet to go to score a touchdown. And the situation was perfect for me to score my first and what would have been my only touchdown. And I remember the quarterback hiked the ball, a hole opened up that was huge that I could easily run through to score a touchdown. And just as I was getting the ball, the referee blowed the whistle that our team had committed a penalty, and so the play immediately stopped before I could score a touchdown. Well, the next play, the coach called for someone else, and they got the ball and scored the touchdown. And I look back at that moment and times, and I think to myself, what if the person on my team didn't commit a penalty? What if in that moment I was able to get the ball and score my only touchdown? You see, I regret that situation and moment and wish it was different. I share that with you because sports is a lot like life. That all of us look back on things that we have done, decisions that we have made, and sometimes we are filled with pride, and sometimes we are filled with regret. And I think that's the topic of today's scripture reading, that Jesus is a Savior who does not want us to be filled with regret. Now, before I go on, I want to clarify that there are two types of regret, that one type that is good and one type that isn't good. You see, the type of regret where we make a mistake, learn from it, and then don't make that mistake again is a good type of regret. I remember when I was in middle school and I was working on an art project, and I came across our bottle of glue, the Elmer's glue that kids always use with the twist-off top, and the top of it was stuck. It was filled with hardened glue. And if you ever had that situation before, you know what you're supposed to do is get like a toothpick or something soft, like maybe a pair of safety scissors, and poke a little hole in it, and the glue will work again. Well, I couldn't find the scissors, and I was too lazy to look for them. But what was close by was a very sharp steak knife. So I decided to use that instead. And so when I went to poke the hole in the bottle of glue, the knife slipped and it cut my finger really, really bad, to the point that I still have a scar today. And I have to be honest, I regret making that decision. But do I sit around and think to myself, what a terrible, awful person I am for doing that? No, of course not. You see, it's the type of regret that I've learned from and I've been able to correct moving forward. But there is another type of regret. The type of regret where even if it happened decades ago, years ago, it runs around in our head over and over again to the point that we are filled with guilt. We think to ourselves, what might have been if I would have done X, Y, and Z differently? And it's that type of guilt that Jesus wants us to get rid of. You see, Jesus says in our scripture reading today, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. That Jesus is a savior who wants us to be forward-looking and not backward-looking. See, I have a confession to make. It's a pet peeve of mine whenever I'm driving somewhere and I have to follow someone or have them follow me. My first choice is always to put the directions in my GPS. And if someone else has a GPS, I want them to use the GPS because, to be honest, I drive differently when I'm looking in the rearview mirror. When I'm looking in the rearview mirror about someone driving behind me and about worrying if they're going to be able to keep up, I drive differently. That I might try to race to get through a stoplight, or I might try to hold back a little bit. Most certainly, my eyes are not forward as often as they should be, but more often are backwards, worried and concerned about the person behind me. And Jesus points out correctly today in our Gospels that we do this in a spiritual sense as well. That Jesus has a purpose for us in this world and in this life. And that purpose is future-oriented, not in the past. And that when we look in the past, we do not drive the cars of our life in the way that Jesus intends. We are distracted by what has been instead of focusing on what will be. And so that's what I'd like to focus on the rest of my scripture reading today, is how do we let go of the past? How do we let go of the past, not in a way where we don't learn from the past, but how do we let go of the past in a way where our regrets no longer define our lives, define our existence? And there is a couple of things that we need to remember, some biblical truths that are really important. And the first truth is this, that we worship a God who can redeem the past. We worship a God who can redeem the past. Not we worship a God who can change the past. We worship a God who can redeem the past. You see, the past is set in stone. That we cannot change the past. We don't have a time machine. But God can redeem the past and restore it and use it for something better. I'm reminded by the story of Joseph in the Bible. Not Joseph, the father of Jesus, but Joseph, the son of Jacob. You know, the musical Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. You see, Joseph was one of many brothers. And he was actually his father's, Jacob's, favorite son. And Jacob made no secret about this, often spending the most time with Joseph and giving Joseph gifts that he did not give his brothers. And this understandably made his brothers very, very jealous to the point where one day they decided to get rid of him. At first, they decided to throw him in a pit where he would die, but then they thought, you know, let's make some money off this. Let's sell him into slavery. And that's what he did. And Joseph was taken around as a slave until he finally wound up in Egypt. And because of his ability to interpret dreams, he found himself in favor with the Pharaoh of Egypt. He became the Pharaoh of Egypt's second in command because he was able to predict when famines would happen so that the Egyptians had all the food that they need. Well, one day, many years later, Joseph's brothers came to Egypt because they were the country that had a lot of food. And unbeknownst to them, they came to Joseph asking him for his generosity. And when they got to Egypt and they realized it was in front of their brother that they sold into slavery, that they would need to plead their case, they immediately were filled with fear. They were filled with fear because they believed that Joseph, in all his power, was going to punish them, was going to take revenge on them. But Joseph said something very important that applies to our lesson today. Joseph said to his brothers that what you did intended me to come to harm, but God has used it for his good. You see, what Joseph's brothers did to him was wrong. And what we do to others and what others do to us is wrong as well. That none of us are perfect and all of us make mistakes, but God is a God who can redeem mistakes. The Apostle Paul says in one of his letters that God makes all things work for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Now notice it does not say that God makes all things good. He makes all things work for good. That if you come to God in faith, that when if you make a mistake, if you come to him in repentance, God will restore and redeem you and make things work for good. That your future might not be the future that you intended or you planned before you made the mistake, but God has a future for you nonetheless. I mean, that's what the cross is. The cross is something that people use to bring harm to Jesus, bring destruction for Jesus. And God has turned the cross for good. God has used the cross and brought it from something to shame into something to glory. And God has the ability to work in your life the same way. God can take your shame and bring it to his glory if you are willing to be open to it. If you are willing, as Jesus says, to not look back when God calls you forward. And there's one other thing that we need to remember. One other thing that helps us understand how we can live in the future and not in the past. And it's this: to remember that as Christians, performance and identity are two different things. I'll say it again because it's important. Performance and identity are two different things. That all of us have, in situations in our life, performed well. All of us have made decisions in our past that are good. And all of us have made decisions in our past that are not good. But as Christians, we don't see our performance as our identity. That our identity is something different, something separate. In our gospel reading today, it opens with Jesus going to a village where people did not welcome him. Jesus goes to a village where people did not welcome him. And when they are leaving from the village, his disciples say to Jesus, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" You see, the reason that the disciples did this is because in the Old Testament, when some soldiers were coming to kill the prophet Elijah, Elijah commanded fire down on these soldiers and got rid of them. But Jesus doesn't do this. Jesus, it says, turned and rebuked the disciples, meaning he corrected the disciples for their false thinking. You see, Jesus wanted the disciples and us to understand that when we come to faith, that the reason Jesus came to this earth was not to bring fire down on us, but was to bring the fire on himself for our behalf. That yes, we have sinned. Yes, we make mistakes. Yes, we fall short of God's glory. But God has taken on our sin and put it on the cross. And because Jesus has taken on our punishment, we are no longer punished, but we have now received a new identity in Christ. An identity that has nothing to do with past performance, but an identity that has everything to do with the death and resurrection of Christ. That who you are and who God is calling you to be has nothing to do with your past, but everything to do with Jesus. And this is very difficult for us to wrap our heads around as Christians, because in our world, everything has to do with our past. We have transcripts, we have resumes, we have performance reviews, we have medical records. We have all these things that tell people this is who you are. But those things do not get to decide who we are. Only God decides who we are. And what God has decided is that you are a new person in Christ. So let go of the pain and grief that comes from regret. Look forward and see that God has a future for you, that God wants to make even your shame work for His good and His glory. And may you trust that you have a new identity, not because of what you do, but because of what Jesus Christ has done for you on the cross. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we give you thanks for this reminder and this command not to look backwards, but to look forward, to claim our new identity and our new life in Christ, and to see a future that you give us that is filled with hope. In your Son's holy name we pray, amen. Thank you for joining us today. We encourage you to like our Facebook page, subscribe to our YouTube page, and follow us on Instagram at GLC_Richmond. If you need anything at all, you can reach out to us by email. Our email is office@gracelutheran1.org. May God continue to bless you.